We're taking stock of the Boston Celtics with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang of the Genotime podcast on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever you're doing, wherever you are going. Whether you're going out for a run, in the shower, at night going to sleep, whatever it is, I'm cool with it. I hope that you are enjoying this podcast and that it brightens your day just a little bit. I'm John Corrales. I host the show. I cover the Celtics, and I am the author of The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available everywhere you can buy books. Today on the show, Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang and I get together in a crossover between the Genotime podcast and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Tom and Nicole host Genotime, and we got together and we talked for about an hour. Part one of the conversation starts on Genotime. So if you're here, you're either coming from the Genotime podcast or you haven't listened to that yet, and I would suggest greatly that you listen to the Genotime podcast. We talk about Kemba. We talk about a lot of things that obviously aren't covered in this podcast. In this podcast, we get into the playoff matchups, Jaylen Brown's growth, the bigs. We talk about start bench cut with the bigs. So that's this half of the show. The other half of the show starts on the Genotime podcast. And like I said, there's a good Aaron Nesmith conversation there. There's a good rotation conversation there. Kemba Walker and a lot of discussion there about Kemba and his return and how he fits. So please go and check out Tom and Nicole on the Genotime podcast before you listen to part two. Or if you want to listen to part two, you can listen to this and still get a fine podcast. But the entire conversation, I think, is worth having. So let's get into it. Here's part two of my conversation with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang. And we start off by talking about the Celtics playoff matchups.
Yeah, I think when we're looking at the Celtics team, like, I think that it looks promising, and they're only getting better players back in now. So there's, you got to hope that they stay healthy, but as they add Kemba and start working him in, and as they add Romeo and start working him in at some point, which will probably be some point in the next month. I mean, the timeline is somewhere between now and a month from now. So hopefully that starts to work. It's now a matter of, on one hand, how do these guys work together and does it continue to go well? And then on the other hand, now you're going to start looking at these matchups, these potential matchups. And, okay, who is ahead of the Celtics? And if it's Indiana, then you say, well, Indiana plays well and they're very physical. And I think the big physical teams definitely hurt the Celtics. But at the same time, and I don't know what's going on with Caris LeVert, and I hopefully it's nothing serious, but just from a purely basketball perspective, they've already lost Victor Oladipo and they may not have his replacement on the floor. So there's, if the Celtics match up against Indiana, then there you can say, all right, they're big and tough, but you can defend that and they lack a little bit more depth. I think the Celtics, if they match up against Brooklyn, we have to obviously wait and see what Brooklyn is going to be, but they lack depth. They don't have Spencer Dinwiddie. They got rid of Jared Allen. So their center spot, suddenly I think you have now the potential to take DeAndre Jordan and just he's out and play him off the floor. And now you can attack that team a lot better than you could have before. And the Celtics are actually set up to defend the Brooklyn Nets as well as any other team out there with Tatum, Brown, and Marcus Smart. That's your rotation against those other guys. And obviously Kevin Durant's going to hunt Kemba Walker when you plop Kemba Walker on Joe Harris and just hopefully he can chase him around screens. But know that because of those three superstars, Joe Harris is just going to be minimized and more of a spot up guy. So you can kind of hide Kemba there. So you know that they're going to hunt that mismatch, but you just got to try to deal with that. And then you still have a guy behind you in either Rob or Tristan that can defend the rim. So, you know, hopefully you're not going to stop those guys, but you're set up to make that a good series. And then we have to see, I think this week against Philly will be a nice test to kind of see how that matches up a little bit there. And then we have to see against Milwaukee. I mean, obviously the opening night is going to be a long time ago by the time they face each other again, but these matchups are starting. You're starting to like look at how this is going to go. I think the Celtics are actually starting to look pretty decent against some of these teams. So it's encouraging. Are they a finals contender? I don't know. I don't think so, but you know, a couple things break right. And again, however they use that TPE, that can change a lot of things. So the Celtics aren't far away from being a finals contender.
I would agree. And I would say that speaks so much to what Jalen has done to step up, because yes. I think that they're in the same, you know, I think they're in like a similar, if not slightly better position as a finals contender as they were last year. Now, obviously last year, a bunch of things broke right, and they probably should have been better contenders than they were. But like, I think they're in a similar situation to where they were last year. And that's losing a wing who is putting up like 40 points in games for the Hornets. Like they have right. a really, really talented player and they're fine. Like they still have two like potential all NBA wings. And that, again, I think that's a huge credit to Jaylen Brown. They have two all NBA wings and that's the tough part. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pretty easy to piece together a big rotation. I mean, we're seeing right now, like as long as you don't play Tice, and I just looked it up, as long as you don't play Tice and Thompson together, like, sorry, Corrales, I know you were a proponent of giving that a shot, but like, as long as you don't play those two guys together, like Thompson without Tice on the floor, excuse me, the Celtics are outscoring teams by 9.2 points per 100 possessions. Tice with Thompson off the floor, they're not, you know, not as strong, but they're much more, you know, they're in the positives. So like, you can cobble together a center position. There's a million talented starting point guards in the league, including Marcus Smart, who is on this team. Like, you've done the hard part. You've got two stud wings, and from here, like, it's just kind of like putting the right pieces around them. Like, you're going to be okay. And I think that's where the Celtics are going to be for as long as they can keep those two guys in town. Is they're going to be a really good team, and you just got to put the right pieces around them, and however you end up shuffling that, you know, is going to be what it is. But that's a good spot to be in.
I will continue my conversation with Tom and Nicole of the Genotime podcast in a minute. When we come back, Jaylen Brown's growth, which is something we probably didn't bet on when we came out of last season. It really did surprise a lot of people. If betonline.ag could have put these odds on Jaylen Brown's growth, I don't know if anybody would have taken them, but they can put odds on a lot of different things. And right now, you can go to betonline.ag and sign up for a free account, and they will give you a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Whatever you deposit, they will match 50% of that with the promo code LOCKEDON. So if you want to bet on the NFL playoffs, which are winding down, only a couple more weeks before we get to the Super Bowl, so get your NFL bets in, NBA bets in right now, college basketball as well. There's a lot of fun prop bets. There's a lot of in-game betting. So if you're into, you know, you're watching a game, maybe you don't want to bet on the game itself, but you're watching a game, you get a feel for it. You go to betonline.ag after you've signed up with the promo code Locked On, and you see what the third quarter odds are or the over-under in the third quarter. Maybe you get a better feel for that. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Go ahead and get into the action. Use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast I host on Wednesdays with Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. He's a good friend of mine. We have a lot of fun on Wednesdays. On Tuesdays, it's East Meets West with Wes Goldberg on the Warriors beat. The Warriors are playing the Lakers as I record this right now. You also have Dave Vermill, who hosts Locked On Heat, and they will tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. So subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Now, continuing my conversation with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang of the Genotime podcast, now getting into Jaylen Brown's growth.
What a year for Jaylen to, I mean, I would have expected this trajectory, I guess, I shouldn't say I would have expected it. I'm not surprised by his trajectory, but of all years for him to really show it, I do wonder if he didn't, whether Danny would have maybe considered the Harden trade a little bit more seriously or things like that. Like he really did himself and the team, like, I don't want to say favors, but like, it was a good year for this to come together for sure.
Right. And if it happened last year, how much more money would they have had to pay him in the
exactly.
extension?
So
he's outperforming that contract, where some people, you know, at the beginning of it, they were like, whew, that's a lot of money for Jaylen. And he's going to end up now outperforming that contract. By a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, the crazy thing about that too, is just that, like, I wonder if he, so you remember last year when he came back and everybody was like, wait a minute, he can dribble now. And it was like, yeah, right. I wonder if part of it is just a usage thing. Like if they had started this last year, if they had like given him the usage that they're giving him this year, last year, if like, you know, if the same thing would be happening with the passing and everything, because he was, you know, the third option all of last year. And that made some sense. You know, he came off the bench in the 2018-19 season. So yeah, I mean, it like, you don't just like hand him the keys to the offense just because he's back in the starting lineup. But yeah, I mean, as soon as they did, he ran with it. So,
yeah. Shout out to you know,
what a player.
It's so wild. Like, you don't know what the case is, right? We're just trying to piece together and guess and all of that. But, you know, it's an interesting thought experiment to say, hey, what if they had done this last year and put the ball in his hands? But, like, last year was, you know, the first year of Kemba. And Kemba had come in already established. And remember at the beginning of last year, Tatum wasn't this. We were wondering what Tatum was going to be.
Right.
And so to have, like, it's almost like you have to do these in a certain order. It's almost like a lock. Like what you have to put the numbers in the right order to unlock the thing. And you can have the same four numbers in a different order. You're not going to be able to pull that lock open. But Kemba first. Tatum, you know, doing his thing. Jaylen maybe getting snubbed for the All-Star team, you know, motivates him a little bit. And then the final thing, losing Gordon Hayward and saying, all right, well, now we got to play with these guys, with you guys up top. You have to make up for some of that. Like, I was a proponent of keeping Gordon Hayward, and I think that would have certainly helped. I mean, he's a very good player, obviously. But you do wonder, like, was it one too many guys that had that, you know, level of play? And by taking Hayward out and saying, all right, now that's why Jaylen Brown is up at the top of the offense rather than in the corners. And that is the final twist that unlocks the whole thing. You say, all right, that's everything that needed to happen to get to this point. And you wonder if anything else was out of order, would this have still happened? But whatever it is, you know, you got to be happy that it's here. And I'm especially happy for Jaylen Brown because, and I'm certainly guilty of this from like the beginning of last year, you know, Jaylen Brown has, a lot of people have tried to put Jaylen Brown in certain boxes. And every time he's shown you more, you're like, okay, this is the new box that he's in. And like, at this point, you just learn that there's no box for him. Yes, he can be a good spot up guy. And yes, this works, but if that's the only way you want to use him, then you're potentially missing out. Like, whatever the Celtics decide they want to try next with Jaylen Brown, whatever there might be left, like, screw it. Let him try something, because the more he tries things, the more you're like, oh, he can do that too. Like, it's super, super impressive that he can keep that mindset. And he's, and you ask him about that stuff, and he's like, no, just more opportunity. I just got more opportunity. And, you know, I always felt like I could do this stuff. You're like, damn, man, this guy's got it.
Well,
just trying to be aggressive.
I mean, some of that is like Jalen doing what like any, you know, self-respecting NBA player does, which is like, yeah, I always could do this, you know, just acting kind of.
Yeah.
You know, we all know how hard you work, man. And it's a good thing. Like, you work your butt off, and like, you've, and like, I also, I like, not that it's like, it's just funny, because it's like, yeah, you did this, man. Like, you worked your butt off and you got here. Like, that's, you know, you don't have to play it cool, but I also get why they do it.
My favorite thing is the NBA humble brag. The Jaylen Brown giving Semi Ojeleye props by saying, you know, I work really hard, but he might work harder than me. Like, oh, okay, we get it, Jaylen. Nice.
It's great. I will say that the one thing, I think your box analogy is really interesting, and I think it's a good point. I will say the one thing where Danny probably made a mistake is not trading Hayward at the deadline and getting something for him. Because I think you're right that, like, unlocking, you had to unlock, you know, Jalen and Jason in a certain way. And maybe, you know, and you know, Danny probably could not have known that Jalen was going to do this. But in retrospect, with 100%, you know, 2020 hindsight, the way to go about this would have been to try to get something for Hayward, because you could have gotten something that would complement these guys a little bit better, as opposed to just like getting the TPE and going from there.
Now, let me ask you this. Is what, and it's impossible, I know it's impossible to answer, but what could Danny have gotten?
Out of actual range here.
Yeah, like we're, so we say, like, yeah, in retrospect, Danny should have traded Hayward at the deadline last year. Could he have gotten, what could he have gotten then? And would that have been better than whatever Danny Ainge might get with the traded player exception?
That's a great point. Like, no, that's a good point.
You know, and it's hard to say. Like, now, like, back then, you were trading Gordon Hayward. And at that point, at the trade deadline, Hayward was coming off, what, the broken hand? And he still hadn't been playing. Like, he didn't have that bubble performance before the sprained ankle where it was like, whoa. That is old school Gordon Hayward. Like, his best basketball came in the bubble, I think.
Yep.
And like, you could have traded him for sure. You could have gotten something for sure. And at that point, what would that have been? And now you've got at least a $28 million hole. Now, it may be a moot point, because if you don't move other salary to actually create the $28 million hole because of the hard cap, it might end up being a similar kind of haul, you know, two good players for Gordon Hayward. But I don't know. I'm stuck on the Aaron Gordon thing. If you get Aaron Gordon and somebody else, you know, then that could be, I think, better than what you would have gotten, you know, otherwise. So,
well,
it just all depends on how he uses it, and he has to use it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what, you know, They didn't give away two like moderately valuable second round picks to not use their traded player.
Right.
They created it very intentionally, obviously. And I think, I mean, what kills me, and you both know how much this kills me, is that the Celtics have their own 2021 pick, and 2021 is such a valuable draft that, like, there's some real value there. Like, if you package, you know, picks and you put like 2021 and, you know, and you put that together with the TPE, like, yeah, you're right. There is something there the Celtics can piece together. And then I don't get to cover the 2021 draft class, which just kills me every time I think about it.
You're still going to cover it. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I'll cover it for the second rounder. Do they even have a second rounder this year? I don't even know.
Going back to the center, though, for a second, what do you make of Robert Williams' season so far? I mean, obviously, it sucks that he has coronavirus, one, because he has coronavirus, but two, for the fact that he's away from the court again. But what are you? Are you impressed? Are you encouraged? Has your opinion on him changed at all from the start of the season? Obviously, it's an important year for him because he is eligible for an extension this offseason. I don't think that's happening. I don't think he, unless he like really balled out, I don't think he was going to get the extension anyway. But What are your thoughts so far?
I think that, you know, Robert Williams, the most impressive part is that he hasn't shown the extensive lapses that he has shown in the past. Like, you would get flashes of this, but you would also get, like, you'd get one quarter of like, whoa, man, this guy should be playing more. And then, like, three straight possessions of, whoa, my God, he is so horribly out of position that he should never be playing again. And he hasn't had that horrible out of position type of thing. He still makes Robert Williams plays like that, that touch alley, that touch outlet pass that he threw past Semi Ojeleye's head. I think it was the second, third game of the season where Brad Stevens was like, oh my God, the sideline. It was my favorite reaction of Brad Stevens so far. Aside from like a couple of things like that, I think that he's done really, really well. And he's shown that he can work well with Peyton Pritchard. He has, you know, those two have a connection. I'm impressed with Robert Williams, you know, especially considering, like, I think a lot of those lapses needed to be worked out on the court. So he's grown, and maybe he's a little, you know, the growth came a little slower than some people like, but he has grown. He's earned time. And I think there's certainly a spot for him in the center rotation. And look, this is Daniel Tice's last season under contract here. The Celtics have decisions to make. And right now, losing Daniel Tice doesn't seem like it's going to hurt because he's supposed to be the stretch big, but he doesn't hit threes. He doesn't hit these jumpers at a high enough clip right now where I can say, yeah, you got to bring him back. So I think right now Rob is earning his spot. And if Tice doesn't show some level of improvement there, I think that keeping Rob and maybe going somewhere more long-term makes sense. Also, at the same time, if we're looking at trades and stuff, that Robert Williams' value has increased a bit. And if you're using the TPE, but also in a separate deal, sending a draft pick and maybe a player that can you know, satisfy the other team, Robert Williams is a good young player that it would suck to lose him, but depending on who you get back, he has value now, or more value than he did at the start of the season, in a deal like this to bring somebody back, a bigger contributor.
Tom has a counterpoint when we return. So make sure you stick around for part three of this conversation, or actually the third part of part two. Does that make sense? Of this conversation with Tom and Nicole of the Geno Time podcast. If you need something for your car, it's winter in New England, and whether you're in New England or not, you're always going to need something for your car, whatever it is. Maybe it's something complicated. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe you need new wipers. Maybe you need new floor mats. Maybe you need a new fuel pump assembly. Whatever it is, you can go to rockauto.com and get that for a lot cheaper than you're going to find it at one of those brick and mortar places at that strip mall. I know you know what I'm talking about. When you walk in there, you look around, you say, how can they have every part that I need for my car? They don't. They're going to plug whatever you tell them into a computer, and they're going to spit out something that they have in stock, and they're going to give it to you. That does not constitute a choice. You can take that same information that you're going to give the person behind the counter and put it into rockauto.com, and you can save 30 to 50 to 100% more on that same exact part versus a chain store, or especially versus a dealership. And rockauto.com, with its very easy to navigate system and catalog, is going to give you all of the options at a reliably low price without charging you something different than a professional mechanic. Professional mechanics actually get charged a different price than do-it-yourselfers. Did you know that? At these other stores? Don't go through that. Don't go for a store that's going to charge you a price based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket. The price of this piece is the price that is just the story with rockauto.com. So go ahead, go to rockauto.com, plug in the specs for your car, plug in the part that you need, and you're going to see that you're going to get a great deal from a family-owned business. Go right now and check out all the parts that are available for your car or truck. And here's the most important part. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. If you don't do that, then they won't know. So please write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We are in the middle of January, which means March is right around the corner, and that means March Madness. But the future of the NBA is on display right now, so get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. You know Chad Ford. He's a draft guru, and he has his first Big Board of the Year out right now with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. That 2021 draft is stacked. So you need to make sure you are subscribed to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast right now here on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, finishing up my conversation with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang of Genotime Podcast, let's talk about the bigs, and Tom disagrees with me a little bit.
Counterpoint. I agree with everything you said. Counterpoint, though. You know what I said earlier about Tristan Thompson with no Daniel Tice on the floor being plus 9.2 per 100 possessions?
Sure, yeah.
Yes, that's on 261 possessions total. Rob Williams is 243 possessions total without Tice or Thompson on the floor. So very similar sample sizes, pretty representative early in a season. Rob, lineups with Rob Williams have outscored opponents by 16 points per 100 possessions, 96th percentile. Obviously, some of that is the most used lineup is Teague, Pritchard, Tatum, Ojale, Williams. So like it is one of those like Tatum plus the bench lineups that just kills everyone.
Right.
But Rob is a good fit. And like a lot of that is just like, you know, you mentioned Peyton Pritchard, also Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like they like, you know, you can tell they like playing with him. He makes lobs really easy. He's a good pick and roll partner. I think you should try to keep him. I don't know what that means for extensions. I mean, maybe that's good news for the Celtics because, you know, they might be able to get him for cheap. And if you can get your starting center for cheap, that's nice, especially when the rest of your roster is so expensive. So we will see what happens. Did you guys want to? Well, go ahead.
So if I were to pose start bench cut with the centers, Tristan Thompson, Daniel Tice, and Robert Williams, how would you answer?
I would start Tristan Thompson. It's just a obviously long time pro, knows the ins and outs, is a ferocious rebounder. I mean, he can do a lot of the stuff that Rob does, not to that exciting level, but yeah, Tristan, I think, is the obvious starter there. I think bench would be Rob at this point, and then cut would be Tice.
Well, let's call it trade because they're not going to cut any of these guys. So, right. Start right. Bench trade.
But I also think it's so unfair to Tice because he's the one guy in this team that has been asked to do something that is not his wheelhouse. But everyone else so far has been asked primarily to do things that they do well. Where Brad Stevens says, soar with your strengths. All of these guys have been soaring with their strengths, except for Daniel Tice, who they're like, okay, you're a five, but go guard fours. And he's not quick enough to slide and stay in front of these more athletic fours. The four in today's NBA is just a bigger three. He's just another wing that's just 6'9" instead of 6'6", you know? So it's you'd rather have Jaylen Brown play the four than Daniel Tice. So it's unfortunate. At the same time, those two big lineups, while they have struggled, have also allowed for a little bit more Robert Williams time because you've used both of your bigs at the beginning and Rob comes in and gets his 20 minutes that way. But it's a shame. I think that I think that Daniel Tice can be good, and we've seen him be good as a five. But if they're going to stick with Tristan Thompson, then Tice is the obvious, I think, third man in that rotation.
Yeah, I mostly agree. I would probably I'll go different. Let me start, Rob. Let's do it. Let's make this offense unstoppable. With Rob, you know, the Celtics are averaging 128 points per 100 possessions. With Rob on the floor, and that is with 245 possessions. Like that's a, you know, not a completely insignificant sample size. Why not? Just score 130 points. You know, you're gonna win games if you score 130 points. So
I think Alice's answer
makes a lot of sense, but I don't know. I'll be a little different here. Nicole, what would you do?
I would do what Corrales said. As much as my heart would tell me to start Rob, my brain tells me otherwise.
Well, I'm just going to sit over here paranoid.
Hey, look.
Guns to my Instagram story. Shout out to Rob Williams.
There's nothing wrong with starting Robert Williams. Like there really isn't. You're getting a lot of the same things. And his passing is actually better than Tristan Thompson's.
I feel like there's something wrong with starting Rob against like Joel Embiid still.
Well, that would be the situational thing, right? Like you could still, like this week, it should be Tristan Thompson against Joel Embiid. But, and that's the thing with these guys. You have three guys that, like, there is some overlap, but you can say, well, against this matchup, this would make more sense. And none of them should be pissed off that they're not being used the same way all the time. One is a guy still on a rookie contract. It's only just starting to really emerge. Another is a guy in a $5 million contract that was non-guaranteed coming in. And then the third guy is a mid-level guy that it's not like you're being paid like Rudy Gobert. You're a mid-level exception guy. Like all of you should understand, like, hey, you're not starting today. Like there should be no, it's not like he's going to Jason Tatum and saying, you're not starting today. You're going to a difference. You say, hey, the matchup dictates that we're going to start Rob today. That means you, Daniel Tice, might get a DNP. He got DNPs before. He's going to get them again. Like everybody just understands, like you're part of a cog here. And there's only a few players on this team that get to kind of have free reign.
Tom and Nicole are awesome. I love them. I miss seeing them on the beat because we can't really be on the beat together. Nicole is covering the Patriots now for the Globe, but also doing Celtic stuff on the Geno Time podcast. But they're super cool people, and the Geno Time podcast is a lot of fun. So I have long said that there's a lot of room in this podcast sphere for multiple podcasts, whether you listen to Locked On Celtics first or second or third. I hope you do listen to Locked On Celtics. If you're listening to me right now, that means you are, but it's cool if you listen to Geno Time. It's cool if you listen to some of these other Celtics podcasts out there because they're all super knowledgeable and they give different perspectives. So I really do want to spread the love because everybody that does a Celtics podcast here, everybody that I've talked to, they do a phenomenal job. They really do a great job. Now, your ratings and reviews have made the Locked On Celtics podcast the number one Boston Celtics podcast out there, and I appreciate that. But all of these guys, Geno Time, Anything Is Potable, those guys, everybody does such a good job that, you know, it's number one in one way, but you can like them better, that's fine. That's cool. I just want you to experience all of these different Celtics perspectives because basketball is so open to interpretation that a lot of people with their different takes, they really do add something to the discourse. So it's a lot of fun. And like I said, Tom and Nicole are super cool. So support them. Go listen to part one of our conversation on the Geno Time podcast. That, if you haven't done that, it's a lot of fun there. Go check that out and subscribe to them too. Also, obviously, subscribe to Locked On Celtics. I would love it if you made it your first stop on your daily routine because I am the only podcast here Monday through Friday. That's my thing. Monday through Friday, I'm giving you a podcast every day, somewhere around 30 to 40 minutes, and you know what you're going to get here on a daily basis. So subscribe if you haven't. If you have, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be amazing. And obviously, you know what I'm going to say, share the podcast. Share it with your friends. Share it with perfect strangers. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.